We are at that time of year when we like to make resolutions, New Year's resolutions, and oftentimes we have a time to do that, or we have a special way to do that, and we put things that we want to see changed in our life. Sometimes it's to stay away from carbs. Sometimes it's to spend more time with our family. Sometimes it's, you know, how we use our money and the priorities that we decide how we're going to invest it. It can be a lot of different things. But I want you to have that in mind as we think also on a much deeper level about our spiritual life. Because often what happens is we tend to gloss over that part of it. We look at the things that, yeah, it would be great to lose a little weight. It would be great to spend more time with our family. But ultimately, for us, in the songs that we just sang, what an incredible set of worship, is that God loves us and there has to be a response. There has to be a response from us. Because otherwise, it just goes out void. It doesn't mean anything. And how sad is that? That God would do these things and that we would take it, we would have the greatest opportunity to be with the Creator of all things and rely on Him and have Him flow through us to other people and see people's lives changed. Because that's the redemptive power of Christ, is that people can turn around completely and their lives are nothing like they looked. I've seen that so many times. When I worked at Hollywood, I would see people that lived on the street, and there was a guy that I can think of, and I know that I've shared him before, but we called him Asphalt because he kind of just had that stuff in his hair, and he was a drug user and all those things, and Jesus got him, and he wasn't the same person when you saw him again. He would talk, and you know, just like we were talking, and it wasn't just that it was a coincidence. It wasn't just that it was a chance that all of a sudden he decided to turn his life around. He found Jesus. And Jesus healed him and restored him. And so often we say we praise God for that, but we forget in our own lives, in the simple day-to-day things, how much God wants us to rely on Him and to allow Him to kind of work through us when we face these situations, when we face difficulties with other people, when we face difficulties in ourselves, when we struggle, and we come to this place of like, well, what am I going to do? And we try our best. We put our head down and we say, I'm going to go through this brick wall if it takes my head off, and it usually does. Instead of saying, Lord, please show me. Please guide me. Please help me and rest in Him. It's so easy to say those words, but it's so difficult for us as humans. I think it goes against our nature. So we're going to talk a little bit about a chapter in Philippians. It's a small passage. And I'm not going to do a history on Philippians, but if you remember, the church at Philippi was a gathering of Roman citizens, and Paul was ministering to them. There's lots of things going on, but in this specific passage, Paul is giving us the illustration of a race. And you think about when they raced, when they had these athletic competitions, and it was, you know, we see some of the ruins in Athens and different places in Greece where they had and the track goes around. And you can just picture these runners. And if you think about it, what are ways that runners run the race? They're not looking around like this, because what happens? They're in the dust. They can't do it. When those guys run, when you even watch the Olympians today, even the sprinters, man, they are just like, you could drive a truck back and front and forth. They wouldn't even see it. They are focused at the finish line. Their bodies are just, they tighten up and they get ready and their body just takes off like it's shot out of a cannon. But this is what Paul's talking to us about, straining towards the promise we have in Christ. Straining towards that future that we have in Him. That's what our life, our Christian life, our walk needs to be. It's not just a random thing where it's like, oh yeah, I guess I'm a Christian so that it's going to affect me in some way. It needs to affect you in every way. And more than that, you've got to be prepared and you've got to embrace it. And so pressing on towards the goal. The goal in Greek, it could be either like a target, like a bow and arrow shooting that, or something at a finish line. So Paul's saying we need to know, we need to embrace the fact that the promise for us, the goal for us, is to be with Jesus forever. That's what we need to want. That's what we need to desire. In our lives, there's so many of the things that we have, and he's not saying, just push that aside, but he's saying, seek first the kingdom of God, and those things are going to be part of that. They will become part of what God wants for you But sometimes it means we have to sacrifice things. We have to let go of them and go with what he has for us. Okay, go ahead. I don't know if you guys, I know that maybe some of you recognize, that's Louis Zamperini, and we have the movie Unbroken, but maybe some of you don't realize that Louis was my youth pastor at Hollywood Presbyterian Church. And then beyond that, we were friends, because I worked at the church in maintenance, and we had a great friendship. And it was so fun for me to sit down with him over my, 30 or 40 years of knowing him, and just listen to him tell these stories. And it's so funny that now in his death, people are saying, whoa, this guy's the greatest thing ever. And I'm like, I knew that, I knew this guy. We sat and had food together, and he told me his stories. He was just an incredible person. But I think the part that I want to share with you is a lot of what happened to Louis after the movie is going to be the things that is the most impactful for him. That he became a Christian at Billy Graham's First Crusade. And he went and he told me, I'm not sure if it's in a book, and I think it's in the book, but the first time he didn't even accept, he left. His wife said, if you don't go, we're going to get a divorce. He was struggling with alcoholism. And Louis went to the thing and he said, there's like this sawdust row. And he said he walked out. But he went back again because the Lord wasn't finished with him. And he did. When he accepted the Lord, his life was so different. He talked about how many people that he affected. He was a minister to young men, boys, for so many years of his life. He had a camp up in Angeles Crest. He had a cabin up in the mountains. And he would take and minister to these kids that had such a hard life. And he loved and cared for them. Still the famous person that I know and people are discovering. But his heart was different because of who Jesus was. One of my favorite stories that Louis told me was, in 1952, the mayor of Tokyo called him and said, will you come back and speak to some of these guards that we have in captivity? And these were some of the same guards who tried to kill him. They tried to beat him. They didn't try to beat him. They did beat him. They tried to beat everything out of him. And Louis had said, and he told me, he said, I promised myself I would never go back to Japan. Never, there's no way that I'm going to go back. And so he's hearing this request, and he realizes that he's given his life to Jesus. And so it's different. It's not just for him. And so he says, yes, he'll go. And so he speaks to these guards, and some of these guards come up, and he's looking at their face, and he's like, these are guys that beat me, tried to kill me. And they said, because of you and your faith in Jesus, we are going to accept Christ. It's incredible. And the reason I wanted to share Louis with you is the fact that he was pressing on to the goal. He wasn't looking back. Was there anybody that had more right to be bitter than him? If people try to hurt you and kill you and just destroy you as a person, he could have felt bitter, but he didn't. And the only reason was, and he told me, it was only because of what God did. And he continued his ministry to so many people. I don't know if you remember when the Olympics were at Nagano, they invited Louis back and he was there. They did a little interview. It was a Winter Olympics, but Louis was there and willing to go because his prison camp was real close. And there was one specific guy, his name was the Bird, and you'll see the Bird if you go see the movie. The Bird really tried to kill Louis, and they were trying to set up a meeting, and Louis says, I will forgive him. And the Bird was like, I'm going to go, but then he changed his mind. And he just couldn't face Louis for the thing. He just didn't want to have the cameras. He just said, no, I'm not going to do it. But Louis had a heart of Jesus. And even up until his death, that's what he wanted. Laura Hildebrand, who wrote the book, Unbroken, he told her, I will not allow this to be unless the gospel, the truth of the gospel is in the book. So it's incredible that this man's life, but he's a perfect example for us. He's a perfect example of somebody who decided, I'm just going to move ahead and make this commitment. And now as we're at this time of resolution, at the time that we can do something, my challenge to you is, as a Christian, there's no better time than now. We can put things off and we can say, yeah, I can do it another time. But that's not what God wants. And we don't know the blessings we're going to miss. Okay, go ahead. We're going to look at the text. This is Philippians 3. Verses 12 through 16. I'll read through it first and then we'll go back and look at some of the highlights. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That's a powerful statement. That Paul's saying, look, I'm pressing on because Jesus has made me his own. He's taken me. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but I do what one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I want you to really kind of picture that as a runner or as an, any kind of athlete. I was thinking, you know, what kind of picture is it paint for you as far as sports? You know, and I think any time that these people have this focus, a baseball player trying to hit a ball that's coming at them 100 miles an hour, and you just see their body tense up, and they're so focused on the pitch because it can go up and down and all over the place. Yeah, they miss it a lot of the times, but when they hit it, it's a pretty incredible thing. Try it sometime. Go to the batting cage and try to hit a ball that's going 50 miles an hour, and it's like butterflies are going by. You just can't do it. Or somebody shooting a free throw. I was watching some games yesterday, and the focus and the fans are going crazy and waving their palm. People are yelling, and they just sink their free throws like it's automatic. You know, some of us, maybe Mitchell and Nick, could do that. But for the rest of us, it might be a little bit of a struggle with the people pressing in. But it's a focus. They're focusing on what they want to accomplish. They're not thinking, oh my gosh, those people are yelling at me. They're just like, basket, basket, or run. And that's what we need to do in our Christian walk. Okay, go ahead. I press on towards the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God is in Christ Jesus. That's our goal. That's what we as Christians have in our life, and that's what we need to work towards. It's not a secondary goal. It's not in addition to your job or any other things that you might have. That's our goal. That's what we need to have. That's how we need to live. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And basically, the last two verses are talking, you know, we need to see this. We need to see this together. There needs to be unity in what we believe. There's a strength in that. And if we're all doing it, if we all have that focus and say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and just imagine the things that our lives can be so different. It's incredible. If you take the time to look and see the things that God has done in others' lives, but we also need to look at ourselves and say, how has God saved me? How has God provided for me? And we can look to the cross and say it's a gift that we all have, and we're all able to go and rely on that. But we have to embrace it. It's not just, you know, I'm going to do it on Sunday. The challenge is for us to incorporate that in our life. So I've got some commitments that I'm going to challenge you with. The first one is to get past the past. Go ahead, Mitchell. Yes, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but as one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. And we have to do that. The past is such a hard thing. Sometimes it's really good things, and people rely on those. I've been at churches where people rely on the past because they said, hey, we were a great church, and this is an amazing thing that we did, and that's where they sit, and they don't get up. And sometimes it's what happens when people struggle. We make mistakes, and we're like, I'm not good enough. I can't go forward. And what Paul is saying here is you need to let go of that. Because if you're active and present, if we're running a race and I had it set up and we all had to run, and the goal is over here, you have to be focused and say, that's my goal. That's where I'm going. That's the race that I'm going to have and set before me. I can't worry about what's behind me. I've got a quote from John MacArthur. It's a fabulous quote, and I liked it so much I put it up there for all of us. So go ahead. And John MacArthur says, Paul made a break with everything in his past, both the good and bad. Religious achievements, and he was the best. Paul was incredible in the things that he could put on his resume. Virtuous deeds, great successes in ministry, as well as sins. Missed opportunities, Paul called himself the chief of all sinners. And disasters must all be forgotten. They do not control the present or the future. Believers cannot live on past victories, nor should they be debilitated by the guilt of past sins. Go ahead. Churches are full of spiritual cripples, paralyzed by the grudges, bitterness, sins, and tragedies of the past. Others try to survive in the present by reliving their past successes. They must break with that past if they are to pursue the spiritual prize. God is interested in what believers do now and the future. No one declares Jesus, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We can find that in Luke 9:62. The clearest vision belongs to those who forget the past. We all have a past. And sometimes those things entangle us and they cause us so much struggle. Because we reach back and we're attached to them. It was almost as if we'd have a chain tied to us, to them. And if we're chained up, if we have, sometimes we have a big dog, and she's not the brightest dog in the cookie shed, but, and we have to chain her up because she loves people so much. If I brought her in here, she'd probably have a heart attack because there's so many people, and she'd want to be friends with all of you. And she's big, she has a small brain. She's a great dog. But sometimes we've got to chain her up because she just doesn't have the sensibility to say, okay, I'm a big dog, I'm 100 and some pounds, and I could probably knock people into the next yard, so I just think she does it. And that's just the way she shows affection. So we chain her up, and she just goes, you know, and we put these, you have little spikes on it because she's a big dog. And so it stops her. And she stops, you know, she whines and things like that. Is our life that way? You know, God's calling us to say, look what I have for you. And we're like, I don't know, God, I'm kind of chained to this. And we decided that chain is by our own making. It's like Ebenezer Scrooge forging the chain in life. We do that. But you know what Jesus says? Jesus said, no, that's not it. There is no chain. There is no binding. It's the decision that we make. And so when our past is there, you have to look past it. You've got to get past it. You've got to get over it and say, let's just embrace the thing that we have before us. Set our minds on what Christ wants for us. There's no better day than today. Press on towards the goal. I'm going to say that a lot because I want it to sink into myself as well. We have the freedom to do that. There is nothing that stops us. We are forgiven people. The cross of Christ has taken care of it. It's like they say, spoiler alert, Jesus won. You know, we act sometimes like he didn't. Like, you know what, we've got to fight through this. We don't. Jesus has won, and we have the opportunity to do that. Our lives can be different. And we have to kind of go to that and see how exciting that could be. One of the great examples in the Bible is Joseph. Do you remember the story of Joseph and his brothers sold him into slavery? And then years later, when they have to face him, can you imagine what his brothers must have felt like? Okay, great. You know, we're in trouble. You know, we got rid of you. We were jealous of you. We got rid of you, kicked you to the hole, sold you. And we think about what that might have looked like for them. It probably was pretty scary. But that's not what Joseph said. In Genesis 50, 19 through 21, it says, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is to this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones and be comforted. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. What could Joseph have done? Bye-bye. You know, off with their heads. But that wasn't his heart. He had the heart of God. And he was looking ahead. He was looking ahead to the fact that God would use him in that position. The past is difficult because it's real. We've walked through it. We've heard people's testimonies about their past. And some of them aren't the most wonderful thing. But because of the blood of Christ, that's all been washed away. And my challenge to you is, like Louis Zamperini, like any great runner, Usain Bolt, keep your eyes focused on the prize, on the goal. And make a commitment to do it every day. Don't just settle to do it on Sunday. Don't just sit back and say, you know, I'm comfortable. I come and Pastor Bob or Pastor Nick, they fill me up spiritually and I'm good. That's not what it's intended to do. Yes, that's part of it. You need to hear people and have people give you the word and challenge you. But ultimately, it's our race to run. And you're all in the race. We're all in the race together. And we need to encourage people. And sometimes it's got to nudge them. Sometimes we've got to do more than that. We've got to push them to say, you've got to step in. And you've got to be part of what's going on. Press towards the goal. All right, so the first commitment is to forget the past. Let's go forward. All right, second one. This is take account of your spiritual life today. It was really interesting. I read a pastor's sermon that was on this exact passage. And his focus was on things that people need to give up to start the new year. And there's a whole list of things, but what I want to do is, like, when we go to the doctor's office, they do vital signs, right? They do your blood pressure and take your temperature and all those kind of fun things. So what do they do that for? Well, to find out where you are. Oh, yeah, your temperature's like 105, you know. Well, you know, you'd be scared. And if you didn't do anything about it, you'd be in trouble, right? We have doctors here. They'd be like, yeah, you're right. The doctor says, hey, something's falling off down here. We better take care of it. And you have a choice, don't you? You have a choice of saying, I'm not going to do it, or I'm going to do it. And if you don't do it, what happens? We got problems. I had a friend years ago that he did not like to go to the dentist. And he had some teeth that were abscessed. And so he was like, I'm not going to the dentist. And I'm like, it was painful to watch this guy. And he did have to go. He was unconscious when they took him. But he got it out because, you know what? He wouldn't have survived. The infection, the poison was like dry, you know, making him crazy. But he was just not going to let go. I think sometimes we do the same thing, that we have issues that we have to struggle with. And so I put a couple of these down just to get us to think. The first one is grudges. You know, we think about grudges. It's like, yeah, I think, honestly, if we talk about it, we could have grudges against other people. It's pretty easy to do because we can think and say, oh, yeah, these people, they've done this to me, or this person, this boss, this relative. And we can hold on to that. And what does it do when you hold on to those things? It festers and it grows. And sometimes people can say something that reminds you of this other person. It's like, you know what? I don't like you. I don't like you very much. It's like, why not? Well, it ties back to this grudge. Paul, again, in Colossians says, bear with each other and forgive each other whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Whoa, man, arrow to the heart. Okay? God's forgiven us. And if we know that God's forgiven us, then what is our responsibility? Well, I'll forgive everybody but these three behind me. You know, I'm not going to do it. And we struggle with that. Because that's, I think, who we are as people. That's humanity. But God wants us to go beyond it. And if we want to look and press ahead, we have to look at where we are right now. And for some, that's a battle. Like I said, there's a lot of different things we could put up here, but this is just one to think. He did a whole thing on grudges, and it was painful to read about people that had grudges with each other, hurting people because of the anger and the pain that they had. All right, let's look at the next one. Next one is restore relationships. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 12:28. Paul, again, to the church at Rome. And he's talking about this, thinking about the fact that if there's things that are broken, how can we do our best to fix it? It does say if it is possible, because some things you just can't fix, but as much as it depends on us, and that's the key point here, as much as it depends on you, what are you bringing to it? What are you bringing to the table? How are you being with people and loving them and forgiving them? Louis Zamperini had to forgive those people, those Japanese guards that tried to kill him. That would be, I don't know, you know, you think about that. How would you do that? The power of God. And that's how we can do it. If you rely or try to rely on yourself, and I want to make this point really clearly, this is not about works. This is not about you being good enough. This is about you trying to sacrifice some of the things that may be keeping you apart from God. So you have to look and say, what is it for me? It could be relationships. It could be a grudge. Okay, Mitchell, go ahead. It could be our transgressions, our sins. Do you have a sin that you repetitively go back to? Man, it's scary sometimes that we choose to do that. We go right back to it. We say, I'm not going to do it. We try to carry the burden ourselves, and we go back to it. We feel so bad afterwards. But Paul's making a point again to the church at Rome. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? No. And he says that by no means. By no means. We've got to get away from our sin. We've got to let those things go. We've got to take them and sacrifice them on the altar of the Lord and say, God, help me. Have other people help you be accountable to that. It's hard. We don't want to open those parts of our life up. Those are the things that we hide. And I've mentioned this before. Dr. Bob Munger you know, had that little book about My Heart, Christ, Home. It's one of my favorite little books. But he talks about there's rooms, there's like closets in his house that he doesn't want God to go in. Jesus is in there going through each room and he tries to give it to him. They come to the closet and he goes like, oh, no, Jesus, we're not going to go in there. Jesus is like, yeah, I want to go in there. He's like, no, that's okay. Let's go to the next room. And we do that. We try to pretend and we put this facade on saying everything's okay. And we could have raging issues going on. And what God calls us to is to give those over to him, to sacrifice them. To say, admit it, I've got a problem. I've got some issues going on. We have to be willing to let that go. So, and the great thing is, we have a God who loves us. Go ahead, Mitchell, go to the next one. The verse continues. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too, that means us, might walk in newness of life. We've been freed from those things. We're free. Do we act like we're free? It was interesting. I did some reading on some slaves in the Civil War. And after the war was over, they were free. But they went right back to their slavery and continued to follow directions almost as if they were slaves. They couldn't let go of it. Man. And we understand to a point because that's all they knew. But you think, too, do we do that? Is that what we do? Do we go back to the sin that controls us? Or do we live in freedom? The freedom that we just sang about in the worship songs. The freedom of just letting God take us because of how much he loves us. I hope that's what we're struggling for. I hope that's what we're pressing on to. Because that's what God's calling us to. All right, last commitment. Press on towards the goal of Christ. If I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, I press on, I press on. And then it continues with 15 and 16 like I mentioned, and it talks about, hey, if you're mature, then you need to think about this. You think about what's going on. You'll realize that we haven't attained this yet. It's not something we attain until we're with God, but we have to kind of set our sights on that. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Have a wise view of this. Understand, Paul's saying, he's challenging them. Some of the people in the Philippian church were saying, hey, we're perfect already. We don't need this. And God is saying, you know what? You do. You need to challenge yourself. Go ahead, Mitchell. This is another picture of Louis. This is a little bit different. If you can look in, you can see his focus. And you can see just his muscle and just the posturing of his body and his arms, the way his arms are going like this. He's set to go to that goal. He's set to move ahead to that goal. And for all of us, that's the goal, and it should be for our spiritual lives. To press on towards the cross. Is that reflective of you? I know for myself, it's not me. And I need to struggle with myself in that way because I want to be that way. I want to have that become part more of who I am. I want to take the time to be able to seek the things that God is pushing me towards and challenge myself. You know, when we have things that are important to us, we make sure that we prioritize for them, whatever it might be. And the same holds true for our faith. We just have to be able to put that into a perspective and say, this is what God's called me to. And where am I right now to check? Forget the past. Take our spiritual temperature and say, where am I right now? What do I need to change in my life? What do I need to allow God in to help me? And then press on. Press on to the goal. There was a video that Carla showed with me once, and I wish I would have put it up here, but it was about a girl who was she was a runner for Minnesota. And it was like a mile run or something like that. It shows the video, and she's running right in the front, and something happens where she falls down. And the runners keep going. Okay, nobody's like, oh, sorry. You know, they're focused. And she gets herself up and starts running. She's really far back. I mean, she probably was like 30, 40, 50. I mean, she was way back. And so you're watching this video going like, yeah, it was really good that she got up. You know, we're proud of her. But she just had this determination where she catches up to the last person and she doesn't stop. And by the end of the race, she wins. I mean, it was incredible. It's incredible to watch because it's real. And you think about this thing, and you just think about her heart that it took for her to do that, for her to guide herself into focus. And that's such a great example for me. And I know it's a great example for us to have that heart to do that. Because sometimes we fall down. It's like, oh, I'm hurt. You know, I need some help. And sometimes we do. But you know what? God's there to help us. It's not like we're running the race alone. God's with us. It's like a relay. God's like, come on. Jesus, God, come on. Run. Run with me. He's the source and the goal of everything that we look for. Now think about the fact that our faith is the beginning. When we start, our faith is the beginning as we run the race. We have to exercise our faith. These are just some thoughts about exercising our faith. We're not going to grow if we aren't spending time in the Word. How can we know God's truth if we don't spend time in the Word? You're not going to know it. You can depend on us as far as the pastors go as sharing you, but the ultimate truth is that you have to invest in it. You've got to take the time to do it. We're not going to grow if we aren't being taught the Word regularly. Being at church and hearing the pastor or whoever the teacher is, it's so important. We aren't going to grow if we aren't spending time in prayer. Taking the time every day. Investing the things. God has given you everything. What is the return? What do we do with our day? How much do we give to Him for the person who's given you everything? It's a challenge for us. We aren't going to grow if we aren't gathering with other believers and getting encouraged by them and encouraging them in return. We are in this together. It's pretty exciting, actually, that we can do this and step together. And so as we come to this place in the new year, or almost a new year, this is a hope. This is a challenge for you. I do have one other quote from a man named Dr. Havner. I really liked it. He says, "The Christian life should be like a sword with one point, not a broom ending in many straws. Such a single purpose forgets the past, reaches towards the future, and presses on. There is no time or place for side issues, diversions to the right or to the left. There is no place for hands on the plow with eyes looking back. Paul was a one-track man, but you can go a long way on one track." It's cool. I really like that. That challenge for us. Okay, Mitchell, go ahead. So in looking at all these things that we've talked about today, and I know that it's been a lot, think about these things. Being free from our past. You know, the things that stop us from being where God wants us to be. Be present. Challenge yourself to be right now. Be where God is and go alongside Him. Take account of your spiritual life. We all have to do that. We all have to look and say, hey, what are the things that I'm struggling with? What are the things that are stopping me from being where God wants me to be? And embrace that and make those challenges. Call God. Call upon the name of Jesus to heal that. And press on towards the goal. Because God has a great plan for us. And I know that our lives will never be the same. Mitchell's going to go to the next slide. We're going to do something a little bit different today. And it might be a little bit of a risk for us to do it. But what my heart is and what my vision is for this is we're going to have like 8 people up in front. And what we want to do is have just a simple anointing and time of blessing for you. And we're just going to pray a blessing over you for the new year. And pray that the Lord leads us. The challenge for you is getting up and coming up. You don't have to. I'm not going to come and grab you and make you come up. I'm going to hope and just pray that God will really just call on you because this is a challenge. And anointing became symbolic of blessing, protection, and empowerment. In Bible times, people were anointed with oil to signify God's blessing or call on that person's life. And I just put a couple little verses up here. Exodus 29:7, "You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him." Ecclesiastes 9:8, "Let your garments be always white, let not oil be lacking on your head." And James, if is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So Rich is going to come up and play some music, and I'm going to ask that those that I've called to go back there. We have a little oil that we've blessed and consecrated in the name of the Lord. And as you feel led, come up, and we will have just a little time of blessing and praise God for the ways that He loves and cares for us.